squirrel.
The next adventure of Disney Conversations is about to depart the station. I hope you're all excited for a new journey. All aboard! Welcome to tour number 121 of Disney Conversations. We're going to kind of discuss what it means to be a Disney-obsessed fan. And I don't know if the two people joining me relate to this or not, but we're going to find out. I'm your tour conductor, Magical Matthew, so welcome aboard. Joining me are two of my favorite tour guides, Diane Whiting and Mindy Muir. Hello, ladies. How are we doing?
Excellent day. Yep.
Happy to be here.
We're happy to have you here. Mindy,
That's right. It's
been a while, so welcome home.
Yay!
I know. We're happy to talk Disney, always.
I've had this idea on my list for a while, and I went back to make sure we hadn't already done it. Now, as far as I can tell, we have not. We are all Disney-obsessed fans, obviously, or we wouldn't be doing podcasts. Diane, you wouldn't be writing the things you're writing if you were not a Disney-obsessed fan, correct?
True. Yes, of course.
All right, so let's go back in the archives a little bit. And I'm sure we've all shared our origination story to some degree. But just as backstory, because, you know, Disney's all about backstory, let's start with how we all got started. Diane, I'm going to let you go first.
Oh, okay. Well, you know, I don't really remember a time as a child when I didn't have Disney in my life. I watched The Wonderful World of Disney every Sunday night. I had Disney. Of course, they were records back then, you know, the little storybook ones with the Disney stories in them. So tons of Disney music in my life and Disney toys. I remember a Snow White phone that I had that I loved. You know, just all, I guess I was all about Disney merchandise from the beginning. I was shopping from the very beginning. And, you know, then I went to Disney World as a child, and that kind of sealed the deal. It was only Magic Kingdom, of course, but I thought it was perfect, and I fell in love with it. And then, I went a few more times in my childhood. Our school class senior trip was to Disney World for 3 or 4 days, and that was the first time, you know, that I'd gone without any adults that belonged to me. So that opened up a whole new world, and we've just been going ever since. When we got married, you know, we started going to Disneyland because I moved out west, and our first trip to Disneyland was September 11th, 2001.
All right. I remember you sharing that with us before. Yeah.
That was quite the introduction to Disney, but I have loved it ever since. And then when we bought Disney Vacation Club, now I'm obligated. I started writing for the Diz and DVC fan, and yeah, I love it.
Mindy, how about you give us a little backstory?
The little backstory. Okay, so it's going to age me, but I'll tell you. So I echo Diane, I have grown up with Disney my entire life. And my grandfather, so my mom had me when she was very, very young. She was not quite 16, so she was still 15. And I didn't understand, like, the meaning of a mother. I had 5 mothers, okay? Mother 1, mom 2, mom 3, mom 4, which was my aunts. I just got passed around. So I was the spoiled child. But my grandmother, every night at 9 p.m., my grandpa loved to watch the news. And they both had these rocking chairs. And 9 o'clock was also the same time, if you remember this show, Mousecapice Theater came on. And all it was this guy on the Disney Channel, and he was like, talks like this, welcome to Mousecapice Theater. You know, it's all in a library, and there was a candle, and it would burn. But all it would do is show the Disney shorts, all the classic cartoons of the Disney shorts for half an hour. And this was in 1983, you guys, so I was little. But I remember doing it, and my grandma obviously knew when the candle would blow out. She'd go to the TV and she'd be like, okay, ready to blow it out? And we'd go 1, 2, 3, and we'd blow it out, and then it would end. So I always got to watch that over the news, even though my grandfather would get so angry. But that's where it started. Like, I loved the Disney Channel. It was my favorite. We always tuned in to Wonderful World of Disney and just watched it all the time. And my mom was obsessed with Disney. So when I moved in with her, we'd go to Disneyland like 3 or 4 or 5 times a year. And she was just obsessed. So I grew up going to Disneyland. And then when I met my husband, then it was all like downhill. It was over.
Yeah.
Because I took him and he was like, this changed my whole life. That was about when my daughter was born. And we went to Disneyland all the time. That was in 2002. We got our first annual passes and we've had them ever since. So we've been annual pass holders for over 20 years and we love it. And we go to Disneyland. I just clocked in at 679 wow. visits on my AP. So there you go.
I
don't know
if that's a record, but I wish I could say that.
That's over the 20 sure. years of visits, but it's been a lot.
Well, and my backstory is a little simpler than that, I guess. Like you guys, I literally grew up on the Wonderful World of Disney. I mean, I was 5, 6 years old when it was live. Actually, I would have been younger than that because Walt died in 66. But I remember all of Walt Disney's shows back then. I remember that he would show some of the shorts on there that were part of the original Mickey Mouse Club. I remember he would talk about how Disneyland came about. And I remember the show where he introduced the Florida Project. I was 4 or 5 years old, maybe at that time, but I remember that vividly. When Disney World opened up, my dad talked about us going to visit because my grandma and grandpa at the time lived just south of there, but my mother would have nothing to do with it, so we weren't able to go. It wasn't until October 1982 that I made my first visit to the Disney park. That just happened to coincide with the opening of Epcot Center, and I have been a diehard Disney fan ever since. My wife gets tired of it sometimes. We've been known to sit around the table. We did this before our first trip. I have 3 kids. 5 of us sitting around the dinner table, and somebody yelled, "Let's play How Does This Relate to Disney?" And they would just throw odd things out, and I'd somehow be able to draw a line back to Disney. It was almost like the Kevin Bacon game, but we were using Disney World for our setting.
That's fun.
That's great. Where I started, and you know, I've only made 12, 13, 14 trips to Florida since then. That doesn't mean that my fandom has any less strength, you know?
That's very true. It's not about the numbers. It's about your love and passion. I mean, I know people that go every day and they're just like, I don't know anything about Disney. Like, it's part of our mm-hmm. DNA, I think. Like, there's a person when you say, I love Disney. And then there's us. We're kind of put in another yeah. bracket, if you will. Like, the obsessed nerd that we completely are happy to, you know, right hand up, go, yes, I confess I'm a nerd and absolutely. A Disney nerd and proud of it, right? But yeah, I think that's just part of who we are and why we do this show mm-hmm. and spread the love mm-hmm. to other people.
Well, let's play a little game. This just came to my head, so here okay. it comes. You might be a Disney obsessed fan if, finish that sentence.
Oh, well, there's gracious. So many answers.
All right.
That's the whole point.
Yeah. If you organize your life around trips to Disney parks or cruises or, you know, any number of things like that, I find myself, you know, doing that. We don't like to go for more than a few months without having something planned or a trip in the works or, you know, a countdown. I don't like not having a countdown. So we've kind of arranged our lives like that. And I'm not complaining.
Right. Because as Disney nerds, we revolve our year around our Disney trips. Mm-hmm. It's just, that's the way it goes. Like, oh, we're going back in December. Okay. Well, we're not doing this then for Christmas. Like, I'm going to be gone, guys. So we work mm-hmm. our lives around yep. our Disney trips. So that's a good one.
I'm going to say that you might be a Disney obsessed fan if you have more than 5 Disney Facebook groups that you are a part of or monitor.
And now I'm counting.
That's true.
I can't count. I'd have to take my shoes off to get that high.
I have a few.
Or take that even a little farther. How many YouTube channels do you follow in hopes of finding somebody who's live in a park?
That's true. Okay, I got one. Might be a Disney addict if you win the Walt Disney trivia on the Disney Wish with 50 other people in there. We got them all right. They were like, how do they know these questions? I mean, like, it's to the point of tell us about World War II and how Walt Disney was a part of that.
Oh, yeah, that's easy.
Like, where was he born? Tell us about the magic tree. Tell us about the, you know, his first studios, which was Laugh-O-Gram Studios. What was it called? Like, it was next level nerd. And you know you're a Disney fan when you can answer legit historical questions.
Yep. For sure.
Okay, Matthew, what's your next one?
You might be a Disney-obsessed fan if you decide to take the step of becoming an authorized Disney travel planner. Because
that's true.
I live out my answer. Fantasies by helping my guests have a good time.
Mm-hmm. Because if you go off the same vein, you might be a Disney addict if your friends turn to you for Disney planning
all
advice.
The time.
And we know they all do.
Yep.
Right? I mean, how many of us get that phone call? Please help. We're going to Disney for the first time. What do we do?
Can I be honest about that? And that's exactly why Matthew started doing that. For just a moment, though, because I do sell Disney travel when I'm given the opportunity, I sometimes limit how much I'll tell somebody if they haven't booked their trip with me.
Yeah, reasonable.
Because I'm going to spend time with the people that booked their trips with me, not because I'm making money off of them, but because I'm directly involved with their planning.
Right.
And I love being a part of their planning. And I got a friend who's getting ready to leave here in just about a month. And I'm trying desperately to get somebody in the parks to get a princess to invite this princess to come visit as a part of the reveal.
Okay.
Now, I do have a couple of princesses that I got videos of the other day. Still not quite what I want, but I will use them. But you might be a Disney-obsessed fan if you're the one that puts the reveal videos together.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. So I would dream to be, and people ask me all the time, how come you don't like sell Disney as vacations? Why aren't you a Disney aficionado planner and a travel agent? Well, my thing is, you might be a Disney addict if you keep applying for the Disney, it was the mom's panel, and it's always going to be, but the Plan Disney panel. And that is literally right hand up the top bucket list of Disney items that I have on my list. I've crossed off Club 33. I've crossed off Disney Cruise Line, all of them, but that is my go-to bucket list dream to be on that panel. So every year I apply. This year ripped my heart out, so we're not going to talk about that. Digress.
Next
but,
year.
But it wouldn't have worked out with anyway with my – it probably was the best. I missed the opening applications by 4 hours because they didn't say they were doing it early. And it's always done at the end of September,
right.
Like right now. I always record when we're at Disney World. Like we did. We recorded my second part, Disney World. Always do it, and they opened it up a month and a half early, and I didn't know. But honestly, it's for the best.
With what you're
I'm
in the middle
right
of, that's the last thing you need to worry about.
Exactly. So next year it'll be there, and I'm gonna make it. That's my like dream thing. So you might be a Disney addict if you want to be a planned Disney plan.
You might be a Disney obsessed fan if one of your greatest desires is to actually drive a bus at Disney World. But you married the wrong person to help that dream come true. Thankfully,
in a good
I don't
way,
think
right?
she listens, so I might be safe. I might not. But it's true. Yes, the heat and humidity are a concern, and that's the biggest thing that she fights against. We have had some very warm, humid summers here in Ohio the last 3 or 4 years. It may not be Florida hot, but it's close. The one thing I keep telling her is that air conditioning is a primary repair in Florida. If I'm not mistaken, I think that's part of a state law somewhere. They have a certain time frame that they have to get ACs repaired. And I know that, like with Disney, if they have a bus AC unit go down, they swap that sucker out the next time it's through somewhere where they can get another bus to it. They can't have their customers. They can't have the guests passing out in the middle of a bus. That just doesn't look good.
Right. Doesn't work that way, huh?
So that's still my goal. It's still something I'd like to do, but I'm beginning to believe that it just may never happen. I'm getting up there in age. I'm getting close to retirement from where I work now. She said something about us doing the winter down there. I'm like, I don't think they would hire me just for winter. It's not a busy season.
They might have
seasonal employees.
That might be a fun thing.
Yeah, but do they have regulations on when seasonal employees need to be available for work? That's something I'd have to find out.
Right. Look into all that. But might be an option. I always said that you might be a Disney addict if you want to go work at Disneyland just for 2 weeks just to get a badge. Just to get my name badge, say I was a Disney cast member, and live out the dream for a few weeks.
Okay, not that this would surprise anybody, but I'm going to take a little trail here. This will be a Doug moment.
Okay.
We used to have, like many places, a Disney store here in town. And I have a Facebook group that I haven't been really doing anything with for a number of years. But when I first put it together, we had quite a few people on there. And I suggested we all meet at the Disney store to do some shopping and have some fun and then go get something neat together. I had about a dozen people show up. Well, years ago, I did lunch with an Imagineer. And it was done at Brown Derby.
Yes, I remember them doing those. Do they still do them?
I don't know if they've brought those back or not. I haven't actually looked.
That sounds so cool.
It was cool. And the guy we had was nobody of notoriety, but he was very interesting to listen to because he was the guy in charge of all the signing for everything at Disney World, from the road signs to attraction signs, whatever it was, it went through him and his department. So he talked about how if they decide to change his color scheme, he's got to go through every sign and change the color schemes for every sign. They have to do them all over again. And they usually have a pretty tight turnaround time, so they work pretty hard. Well, as a part of that, they give you a name badge with your name on it. And it says something about lunch or dinner with the Imagineer, whatever it was, on there. I had that on. I wore a vest with that name badge on it. I guess I looked a little too official because somebody in the store came and asked me if they were being inspected.
Okay, I got one. That totally reminds me. I just got back from Disneyland like 6 days ago, 7 days ago, right? And it was a trip that I had planned. My friend was flying out. I felt like crap, but I went anyway. And I dress up when I go to Disneyland. I wear cute outfits. So this day, I have a real vintage 1950s Letterman sweater. It's a button-up, long sleeve, like think of, you know, what they'd wear in the movies. It's just a basic wool, thick men's Letterman jacket. And it's navy blue, has leather patches on the elbows. It's so cute. And then I wore that with my red, I have a white petticoat and a red swing skirt, like a full circle swing skirt. And then I had Mindy written on my white t-shirt. So I looked like a little
Mouseketeer.
And I swear to you, I got stopped like six times every time I wear that outfit. Can you tell me where this is? Can you tell me where that is? That you get mistaken for a cast member.
Yes, but if you can actually answer their questions, then...
Yes,
you are an
that's
obsessed
true.
Disney fan.
That's right.
That's the key.
You know, I always look for the people holding the maps because they're obviously there. They don't go very often. And I always try to help those people out. Like if they're holding a map, hey, how can I help you? Do you have a question? And where is this? Oh, where it's over there, you know. So you might be a Disney addict if you stop and help people who
and
hold
some of my friends say that one of my superpowers is that I know where every single restroom in a Disney park is located. If anybody goes, oh, is there a restroom nearby? Yes, right here. So I don't know if that's a superpower, but it can come in handy.
May not be a superpower, but it might be a necessary one.
Exactly. Yes, it is true.
Okay, here's a question. You might be a Disney-obsessed fan if you know which cast member to go to ask for directions. Who's the first one you think of to go to?
By name?
Just position. What type of cast member would you go to ask for directions to get around the park?
I ask usually I actually usually ask the like the cleaner
exactly.
people in the white outfits.
That is the right
I just
answer.
Ask them. I would love that job. I would love that job to walk around the parks.
They don't stay in one area all day long. At least they didn't years ago. They would work an area for a certain time, then they would take a break, and then they would rotate to a different land. So if you wanted to know where something was, they were the people you asked because they knew where it was.
And you might be an obsessed Disney fan if you don't need to ask a cast member where anything is ever.
Yeah, that's true.
That's very true.
But that is good information. So anybody out there going on their first or second trip and you don't know where that is, look for the people in the white shirts.
Look people for the in the white outfits because they'll be able to tell you where to go. And those are typically the people that are doing the water painting on the
mm-hmm.
on the surfaces around the lands because they got the brooms.
They're talented.
Yeah.
Always fun.
It is fun to watch. And you got to watch real careful because depending on how warm it is, it ain't going to stick around long.
Nope. So you might be an obsessed Disney fan if you decide to invest a great deal of money in Disney Vacation Club so that you can spend as much time as possible in the Disney parks and, you know, maybe retire there for a month in 10 or 15 years or so.
I don't know anybody like that.
No, would that be?
Not to mention the fact that if you want to know about any of the restaurants, just ask Diane. She's eaten at every one of them.
That's another one. You might be an obsessed Disney fan if you have eaten all the food in all the parks twice.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe three times. Maybe more. I'm not telling.
Okay. I don't. I'm pretty sure you've probably seen the story this morning.
Oh, yeah.
But you might be an obsessed Disney fan if you think the bear that visited Walt Disney World's Magic Kingdom today was objecting to the changes coming to the Country Bear Jamboree.
Or he was just applying for the position.
You know, they said they were going to introduce a new character. Why not?
They may need auditions. I mean, I get it. I get it. You do dress for the job you want, and he doesn't even have to. Why would you use an animatronic? Here I am.
Yeah.
That must have been a bit of a surprise for the poor cast member walking Tom Sawyer Island that morning. I'm sure that bear was like, cool,
yeah.
Look at this place. Caves and a fort.
Yeah,
and
it's all set up for him.
It's perfect for him. They should let him stay. Let Baloo stay.
Exactly.
Yeah.
What else we got?
There's so many.
I know. You might be an obsessed Disney fan if a decent percentage of your wardrobe has the corporate mouse logo or various incarnations uh-huh. of it on your clothing.
I inherited a couple of boxes of stuff from different people, and just about all of them have the traditional Mickey hat on them.
Nice.
Yeah.
So all I have to do is decide what color goes with my outfit, and out the door I go, yeah. I'm the only one not wearing anything Disney because I just didn't take time to change when I got home from work. However, if I were able to show you around my room, which I'm not, that you would see other things.
You may be a Disney addict if the back of your car is plastered with Disney bumper stickers or vinyl, or your license plate literally reads, "Love Disney." That's my license plate. My license plate. It's LVDSNY.
Cool.
Love
yes,
Disney.
Mine. I've got a Disney Life vinyl, and I've got my annual pass holder magnet and my Disney Vacation Club magnet, and then I've got the castle outline, and it says home underneath it. Etsy, everybody, get your vinyls on Etsy. Yeah.
I used to put my annual pass holder on there, but they kept getting stolen, so I stopped putting them on there.
Fortunately, that's never happened.
I hear that a lot from people.
Oh, shoot. I've got a ton of pass holder magnets, so most of them are on my fridge. I just put the one that, you know, the Mickey one that they give you. I don't put any of the cute ones that they give out at, like, Flower and Garden or anything like that, because those would be tempting. But the vinyls are great. Nobody can scrape that off your car, or it would be too time-consuming if they tried. So that's a good one to do. And, yeah, the DVC magnet has stayed on there, too. Definitely got to represent. And for a while, do you remember when we used to have antennas on our car? I always had the Mickey antenna toppers, and I would change it with every holiday. So
I wanted to get one of those, and then we bought a car that didn't have an antenna, so I'm like, never mind.
Yeah, that was not
wah,
cool.
Wah, wah. Yeah.
I know. I have so many of them. I mean, they did get a little beat up when you're driving around town all day. But yeah, I loved mine.
You might think you're in a successful Disney obsessed fan if your children are following in your footsteps.
Yay.
My oldest daughter was here this weekend. We did some wedding planning. She was in line at Target and she saw this in the checkout line.
Yay, Walt Disney. It's fun.
This is the History Channel magazine, 100 Years of Disney edition. I didn't even know they had that. And she brought that to me the other day just because she knows both of my daughters are pretty consistent at buying me Disney gifts. I'm helping a friend plan a Disney trip for her family. She got me a Winnie the Pooh candy dish.
Oh, fun. He's cute.
To which my youngest daughter is stopping at the grocery store. I told my wife, I said, let her know that Pooh's hungry because he's almost empty. And that's the whole thing. Disney obsession, it's a problem that we're not willing to admit we have because we like it. We love it. We want some more of it.
It's a very expensive habit to
especially
have.
Especially if you have a Dooney collection. Let's not even talk about that Disney obsession.
Yep, that's true.
Time to get out the Haunted Mansion bag. It's that time of year.
Or in Mindy's case, you make an insane investment in various types of fabric to make your own stuff.
That's right.
She's just uniting her hobbies. See, that is cost effective. She likes to sew and she loves Disney. So let's bring them together.
And she loves vintage, so she puts three together and she's got the
triple
play.
That is smart. Yeah, that is just smart.
I buy vintage. So the favorite one that I did, I bought a 1980s. It's like from 1982 vintage Disney sheet. It was just a big queen size sheet. It has Disneyland on it and all the characters and the castle. So I took that sheet and I made a swing dress out of it with a big, huge circle skirt. It turned out amazing, and I love wearing it to Disneyland.
That's fun. See, I'm forced to purchase mine because I failed sewing in home ec. Well, that's not true. I can make habits for the Sound of Music costume. So if you're a nun and you need a habit made, I am your girl. Other than that, I'm pretty useless, except for like basic pillowcases and stuff. So I am forced to purchase my stuff. And they have the cutest stuff in the stores now in Disneyland, the cutest 1950s. It's a wool skirt, very cute with like the Letterman looking type sweater. But the skirt is $300. So it's Tommy Hilfiger.
It's because they're Tommy Hilfiger, and I almost bought that entire outfit.
I debated, but Greg was with me. So I had to show some restraint. I did get a new cute little Dooney bag because I have the 20% DVC discount. So, of course, it made it worth it. But Disneyland doesn't give as big of a discount as Disney World does off merch. So that was a bummer. But, I really did want that skirt and sweater. I'm going to regret that. So, yeah, but I can't sew it. So I'm stuck.
Well, and on our last tour, Lori and I were talking about some of the rumors that they let go at Destination D23, so we started some of our own.
Yeah.
And I suggested the rumor that perhaps they were going to go ahead and put Mary Poppins in at the UK Pavilion at Epcot and hire Mindy to be Mary Poppins.
That would be cool.
Because I can't think of anybody better.
And then she would get a cast discount.
Oh, yeah.
And I could have that skirt. I think that works out all the way around. Yep. That's the way.
That's right.
That's how it goes. Synchronicity, people. Let's make it work together. So, yes, being a Disney fan, if you're going to have a problem in life, that's probably one of the best ones that you can have because it's happy, it's joy, it's fun. For me, it brings my family together and wonderful vacations. Mm-hmm. It gives us a break from the real world, which everybody needs every once in a while, and it's just pure joy, and I think we need more of that in life. I always say that Disney people are the best people. They are always so kind and so generous, and I'm talking about people that truly love Disney. Sometimes when you're in the parks, you run into people that aren't necessarily as happy as you are to be there, but I think generally they're not Disney people to their very soul. Right. But people who are, you know, they're just the best people in the world. Mm-hmm. And I love spending time around other Disney people. And it's always just so much fun.
And that's why sometimes I don't mind being in the regular queue lines if they're not obsessively long, because you get to talk to other Disney-loving people. They may not end up being lifelong friends, but at least your friends long enough to help the queue line feel like it's going a little faster.
I've met the best people. And at the resorts, you know, especially like at my home resort of Old Key West, people know each other. It's bizarre. It's like a small little town, and people come at the same time, and everybody's so open and warm and friendly, and what you think a small town should be. So it's nice to be around people that want to bring joy and happiness into the world and into other people's days. And I don't see a downside to that. I mean, my wallet might see a downside to that, but whatever. It's only money.
Right.
Let's just say that there really isn't a cure for being a Disney obsessed fan, but also I think it's safe to say that generally speaking, you don't hear people getting hurt because of this obsession. There are a lot of habits we could have that would be detrimental to us, to our families, to those around us. I don't think this is one of those. And Mindy, if you don't mind me sharing just a little bit, not a lot of detail, but Mindy's been having some issues, physical issues over the last few months. The only way I know to put a smile on her face is to send her a Disney meme or a quote or something. Even when we're down, Disney puts a smile on her face. Hello, that's the magic of Disney. Mm-hmm. And here we are this year celebrating 100 years of that magic. And I, for one, am happy to admit that I am a Disney-obsessed fan.
Same. Right.
Disney nerd to the core. Well, thank you so much, guys. This was a blast.
Absolutely.
And I'm glad to be back. So
Mindy, we're really glad
me.
You were able to join us.
We
hope and pray that you continue to get better. We'll be able
Working
to have you
it.
Around a little more often and a lot longer.
Yeah, and we can all meet up in Disneyland next year. Let's
Amen.
Make it a goal.
December 5th, 2024, my birthday.
Okay,
That's
I'll see
the
what
goal.
I can do.
That's right. Done.
Diane, thanks a lot, as always.
Of course.
It's been a joy. Okay, and folks, that's it for this tour of Disney Conversations. We'd love to have you jump in and let us know what you're thinking. Give us ideas for shows. Just jump over to our Disney Conversations Facebook page, and we'll be looking for your comments. Until next time, tourists.
Peace out.
We hope you enjoyed this adventure of Disney Conversations. We'd love to hear from you, so jump over to the Disney Conversations Facebook page or email us directly at disneyconversations@outlook.com and let us know what you think. Until next time, tourists.
TTFN, ta-ta for now.